Well, it's so important to remember, whether you're young or old, you can cast all of your care upon the Lord. And I want to talk tonight. I hope I can do this without getting, I don't know, I'd like for this to be more of a discussional type service tonight. Maybe almost, I'm kind of, my usual problem is I'm trying to do too much in one service, and so let's try to stay away from that. And next Sunday morning, is it all right for everybody if we do our, if we're going to do our giving deal next Sunday? Is that all right, everybody? Everybody good to go on that? Okay, don't forget about that. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 19, Jesus says something to the disciples here. And verse number 19, He saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know, He didn't qualify that with saying, I'll make those with a personality of such and such type to be fishers of men. I won't make, He said, He didn't say, I'll make those of who can speak or those who've got to, who this, that, or the other. He just said, if you follow me, I'll make you to be fishers of men. And of all the fishing we ought to do, we ought to be fishers of men. Now, in preaching and church work and so forth, there's extremes. There's one extreme where they don't even, they're so predestinated they don't go after anybody. They're not interested in trying to win anybody to Christ. Just, you know, they're just going to have church and they're not interested in winning anybody and they just don't want to do it. Then you've got this side over here that thinks if you're not knocking on doors three nights a week that you're backslid on God. And so I don't see that either of those extremes are right. And I want to just talk to you tonight about some things, and if you've got questions or whatever, I'm not a great soul winner. I've led several people to the Lord over the years. It's a great joy. It's a wonderful thing. It's actually in preaching, it's your work. The big thing here is He said, if you'll follow me, I'll make you to be fishers of men. I'll make you to be fishers of men. It won't be something that you'll have to, you know, He said, I will make you. And that's when you really become a fisher of men. Fishers of men involves a lot of things. Now, some people are down there at the lake and they're fishing, but somebody usually had to make the rod and reel that they're fishing with. Somebody had to make the lure. Somebody had made the boat. There's a lot of things that's behind the fishing of men. And we all have a different part in the work of the Lord. But I can tell you this. Jesus said that He came into the world to save sinners. He has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And a church that loses its evangelistic focus is a dying church. And dirt may not be thrown over it yet, but it's a dying church. And so I want to encourage you tonight that no matter where you work at, no matter what you do, to be involved in this thing of fishing for men. All of us can be, and if we all will, I'll tell you this much. Your faith will never, ever have the purpose and the reality to it that your spirit knows you ought to have till you get involved in this work of fishing for men, leading somebody to Jesus Christ. I want to ask a question here tonight. Was there anybody in this church house that was led to Christ outside of a church service? You were maybe at home. You were maybe at work somewhere. Is there anybody like that that was led to Christ? Jan. Where was you led to Christ at?
In my kitchen.
In your kitchen. Good place to get saved. No wonder she cooks so good now. Amen? She got saved in the kitchen. Somebody else. Susanna. Got saved in me and Mama's bedroom there, didn't you? All righty. Somebody else. Yes, Myra.
On the phone.
Got saved on the phone. Whoa, you better listen to that one. Better listen to that one. Yes, right here somebody had a hint. Huh?
In the kitchen.
Hey, that sounds like a good place to get saved at. Anyone else now? Where I got some of you got saved? Yes.
At work.
Listen to that. Isn't this good? And what this is showing you is that God saves people anywhere that the work is done, the Holy Spirit's working. And God can use you in a lot of things. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're just going to look at some scriptures tonight. Now, first of all, I want something down rock solid in this church. I do not like any attitude or spirit that says, if you're not giving out tracts and what, talking to people about the Lord, you're a backslid. I don't like that. I don't like people feeling condemned because, you know, they're not, make quote, soul winning all the time. I don't think it works. I don't think you twist and coerce people and make people feel guilty to do the work of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. You couldn't do that with me preaching. If God didn't put something in me and give me of His grace to want to, you just couldn't pay me enough. You couldn't twist me. You couldn't shame me enough. You couldn't make me feel guilty enough to do it. You just couldn't do it. I think talking to people about their soul and leading people to Christ and sowing the seed in the same way. You don't do it because you feel, well, I haven't passed out my tract today. I feel guilty, so I'm going to do this. It just needs to become part of who we are. It just needs to become part of who we are, you know? And that's what I want in this church, that it just becomes part of who we are. And I'll tell you something else. You'll do well and you'll backslide. You'll do well and you'll backslide. How many's backslid back and forth for, you know, on talking to people about their soul? Okay. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh, it's chapter 3. I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse number 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 5. Everybody there say amen. Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Now watch verse 6, really good. Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but what? God gave the energy. You can't save nobody. You can't save nobody. I've had people walk up to me and say, oh, brother so-and-so saved me. I said, I hope not. Amen. I know what they mean. They mean that they were instrumental in leading them to Christ. But you need to get this verse down. One plants, another waters, but God's the one who gives the increase. Now, what that makes us know is that without the power of the Holy Spirit with us and going before us, some man told me after I'd started preaching, he said, Reggie, never go talk to men about the Lord until you've talked to the Lord about men. That's pretty good. And I will tell you this, though. You must have a conscience. You know, it's kind of like when you get up in the morning, you know, there's a consciousness that you're going to go to work. I mean, and I guess you can just get to where, well, I go to work, you don't even think about it. But in all honesty, spiritual things are not automatic. You have to consciously think. And I would encourage you, if you want to write some things down tonight, one of the things I would do is every day ask the Lord to fill you with His Spirit. Every day. Every day. Not only every day, but probably several times a day. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Now, why? Because when a person is filled with the Spirit, they're conscious of souls. When I am not filled with the Spirit, did you know I can go right by somebody and don't even think about it? Don't even hit my mind? Doesn't even occur to me? It's just not on my mind. But if I'm filled with the Spirit, I'll think about talking to somebody. I'll think about sharing the gospel. I'll think about talking to them about eternal things or their soul. Now he said, he's planted, Paul's water, God gave the increase. Now watch verse 7. So then neither is he that planteth anything. If somebody goes around bragging to you how much they talk to other people about the Lord, they're probably thinking themselves to be something when they're nothing. God says that even though you plant, you're not anything. Neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. John the Baptist said, he must increase, I must decrease. Now watch verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one. And every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. Now, salvation is not a reward, but the Bible teaches very clearly that you will receive rewards if you plant and you water the gospel seed into the hearts of people. Okay? There's eternal rewards for that. In fact, it's tremendous. It really is. There's a place in, I believe in Daniel, says they will shine as the stars forever. In other words, there is a special, if you watch the Bible, there's a special something there that God does that. Now, in verse number 9, for we are laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. And then he talks about the according to the grace of God. And it takes, Donnie's been teaching about grace. I'm going to tell you something. It takes grace to talk to people about their soul. Amen? I don't know about you, but my flesh is not interested in it. I said, your flesh is no good. The flesh is no profit in it. My flesh isn't interested in talking to anybody about their soul. But my spirit is. And I need the grace of God on that. Go to Psalms 126, verse number 6. I love this old passage of Scripture. Psalms 126. Just give you some Scriptures tonight, and then we're just going to give you some Scriptures about how you can lead somebody to Christ if you have the opportunity. We're going to talk about some lead questions, some starter conversations you could use to maybe strike up a conversation. But there's one that you don't want to miss, that everybody, now there's different things that fits different people, I'll say that. There's some things I might use and you say, Reggie, that just don't work with me. But there is one that works for everybody. It's a foolproof, absolutely works every time, way of witnessing to people. And I'll get it to you later. All right. Psalms 126, verse number 6, or verse number 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. I can't ever read that verse without thinking about Sister Julia Burchett. I'll tell you what, and Bill, I'm certainly not negating your, but Julie is just a little more, she's a little more open about it. And I'll tell you what, when that woman prays, she's a praying out to God, and I'll tell you, she'll weep to God. Now, I saw her sowing tears, but I also seen her reaping joy.
Amen.
Amen? And I'll tell you something, when you so you learn how to see that, they that sow in joy, so what does that tell you? You've got to have a burden. You've got to care. You've got to care about whether people's dying and going to hell or not. But the Bible said if we'll sow in tears. Now, look what it said. And just not the tears. Look at the word sow. You've got to sow. You can't have a garden if you don't sow it. Now, I'll plow it for you if you'll sow it. Did you know what? You can sow the seed of the gospel, the love of God. You get them here to church, I'll plow the ground up the seed, so you can get seed in. But you got to sow. You can't reap if you don't sow. Now, I went back a while ago, and we've got to do this. There's some things we've got to straighten up around this church. We need to get the tracts right here in the foyer somehow or another where you walk out. You can grab you three or four when you leave every service. I'm honest with you. Right now, at my house, I've got a .22 rifle. We have killed a possum. Whether or not we're home in church, there's a possum. I ain't kidding you. That lad was that big, sitting on our porch rail. It's just like, y'all been to church? I have killed a possum, a skunk, one or two skunks, armadillo, in the ground, and two groundhogs. All within a few feet of our house. I don't know what the devil's, and he's doing something. I mean, he's sending roadkill our way. But you know what? I've got a gun out there. And you know what? It don't have a shell in it. And Paul brought me some shells. And I can't shoot them things if I ain't got shells in. And you can't take no corn if you don't put no seed in the ground. They that sow in tears, and look what it says, shall reap in joy. God makes you a promise there. That's a check you can take to the bank of God and cash it. He said, if you'll sow in tears, you will reap in joy. The seed of the Word of God is incorruptible. It is powerful. He said, my word shall not return unto me void. Now, the most of the time, God doesn't let us see a lot of reward because we'd get high and mighty. You know, I really believe God uses the CDs and stuff more than we know. But if he'd give us too much, we'd think we're somebody around here. Maybe he'd quit. We'd get lifted up in pride, then he couldn't use us. But you got to have shells in the gun. Now, so anyway, look at the next verse. He that goeth forth, look at the going. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing what? Precious seed shall what? Doubtless, without a doubt, come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheep with him. Boy, isn't that a good verse? My soul. Now, that don't sound to me like they're all down the mouth and they're all sour and sad and feel like they're under a guilt trip because they got to talk to somebody about the Lord. Sounds to me like these people, number one, love the Lord. Sounds number two, they love people. Number three, their faith, they've got some sense squared away in their head that if folks don't get saved, they're going to die and go to hell. And God wants to use me, and what a privilege that the Lord would want to use me in leading other people to Jesus Christ. That seems to me to be the attitude of that. Now go to Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 30. Proverbs 11, verse number 30. You know what that sound makes me think of? That are going in the mulberry trees. You hear them leaves? Makes me think of David over when God said, when you hear the sound of them going in the mulberry trees. Verse number 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that what? Winneth souls is what? Wise. He that winneth souls is wise. Lord, help us tonight to do something that would help folks to see other people come to Christ, that will give us grace, Lord, to plant the seed, to water, and to see you give the increase. I pray, God, that you'll help us to have a happy heart about it. I pray that you'd make it, Lord, part of our life, part of the fabric of who this church is, who we are as individuals and families. And I pray, God, that you'll help us to lead folks to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, to be honest about it, I will submit this. Donnie and Bob and some of them talking about this man that got saved over here in Norwood. Let me tell you something. He just didn't get saved the first crack out of the deal with somebody. I promise you that somebody's been sowing seed along the years in that man's heart. And for most of us, that's really how somebody planted, somebody watered. And you know what? The Bible said you reaped wherein you bestowed no labor. And a lot of times preachers are reaping where somebody else has been praying and weeping and sowing seed for a long time. Now, here's what you got to get in your head. I don't have to see the corn to plant it. I don't have to see the end result to be a seed planter and a soul winner. It's nice every once in a while to see people saved right in front of your eyes. But you know what? You need to get to where, Lord, if I never see anybody saved before my eyes, I'm going to sow the seed. I'm going to water the seed. And, Lord, I'm going to set it so that you can give the increase. Because God has set it in the universe. I mean, unless we sow, unless there's water, you know, God's the one who gives the life. But you just need to get to where I don't have to see results. And it's not about me being spiritual. It's not about me being super holy. It's about me enjoying and going about the great work of winning souls and working with God and doing it. And so you just need to have that attitude in your heart and your mind. Now, the Bible said he that winneth souls is wise. That means you need to have some wisdom from God about it. A lot of people have been turned off by foolishness and by spirituality and by this, that, and the other. Brother Lindell said to me about his dad, he said sometimes he wasn't the most tactful person in the world. Let me tell you something. Most of us are never getting it done. I'd rather see somebody not so tactful and do it than somebody who's worrying about being tactful and never talk to anybody. And if you can give me all the best ways and answers, I'm glad for you. But I'll tell you, sometimes you just got to stumble out and do it. Amen? Now, I'm going to give you some lead questions tonight. If you want to write these down, let's say that you meet somebody this week and you're talking to them, you know, and the Holy Spirit's dealing with you about talking to that person about their soul. Here's a question that I have used with people over the years. Have you ever thought much about where you're going to spend eternity? That's not a bad question. I'm not saying it's the best. I'm not saying it's the worst. I'm just saying it's one that's worked for me pretty good. Have you ever thought much about where you're going to spend eternity? You know, I might be talking to a fellow and I'd say, hey, Tim, and we might be talking. Maybe the conversation kind of just settles down for a little bit about what we were talking about. I'd say, hey, Tim, by the way, have you ever thought much about where you're going to spend eternity? I'll tell you, you'll be amazed sometimes if you'll ask God before you leave the house how God will open the door for you before you get there. He'll put somebody ready. I mean, the door will come wide open for you. But that's because a lot of people say, well, I don't know how to get started. I don't know what to say to anybody. We'll start off this way. If you're visiting with them, have you ever thought much about where you're going to spend eternity? I never will forget one time I asked a man that, and he said, I think about it all the time. He said, I think about it every day. And I led that man to the Lord. He's just waiting on somebody to ask him. Have you ever thought much about where you spend eternity? Here's a very good question to bring conviction. Have you ever been born again? And you know what? If you're not careful, you don't want to use those words. Now, let me tell you something. You use God's words. Saved, converted, born again. Learn to use those words. They'll have power in them. And they'll bring conviction. Again, you can't walk up to somebody like a crank. I've got to ask you something. No, just say, by the way, have you ever been born again? Let the Holy Spirit take it. You don't have to shove that, push it. No, have you ever been born again? You can depend on the Holy Spirit working in that person's heart. Now, the person might say, well, no, I don't even know what that is. Then what would be the next logical thing you would say? Could I tell you how to be born again? Next logical, that would just be the logical thing. If they say, well, no, I never heard tell it. If they say, well, I was baptized in 1982, how would you handle that? You say, well, being baptized is a wonderful thing, but it don't save you. You need to be born again. And just be nice about it. Don't have to be mean. Be wise. Now, here's what the devil always wants us to do. And this is why the Bible says, he that winneth souls is wise. The devil wants us to make statements and have attitudes that makes us look spiritual, have spiritual superiority and pride, and build up barriers between that person. That's why you need wisdom. You've got to learn how to go around that stuff that they're going to bring up, okay? You need to the cross will offend, but I'm not to offend. Okay? But in the process of bringing somebody to the cross, there usually will be an offense, and so you just will get ready for it. You know what the best thing? Here's what will happen. You plant that seed, you may not see it. You may never see it. You know what you may hear? 2 years down the road, you may hear that person got saved. God used you to plant that seed of conviction. Okay? Somebody else watered it, but God gave the increase. And that's how you got to see this thing. Now, why is it important to see this? You know why? Because you go out and you talk to somebody about the Lord, give somebody a tract, they respond, they reacted to you, and you say, well, it didn't work, it don't do no good, and the devil discouraged you with it. So if you see it from a perspective of, oh, I've got to see results and it's all got to look good to me, you won't last. You won't last. You've got to understand you're just working with the Lord. We are laborers together with the Lord. It's got to become part of your life. Well, another question. And this is pretty punchy. Are you 100% sure that you'll go to heaven when you die? Are you 100% sure you'll go to heaven when you die? Now, why do you say put the 100% sure in there? Because people will say, what will they say, Don? Well, I hope so.
Pretty sure.
I'm trying to. And what you got to do, now this is where the gospel really comes. This is why you really need to know the gospel. Because the gospel is a no-so salvation. You need to be able to take the Bible and teach them that they can know that they're saved. You need to be, because I'm going to tell you something, 80% of the people you're going to talk to do not believe that a man can know that he's saved. They do not know it. They do not know it. They do not know it. And when you, and that, by the way, I'll tell you this, when I have asked people that question, and what I a lot of, I won't say I usually get it, I'll say I have gotten it a lot. I don't think anybody can know now, Reggie. Now, what do you say? Well, I'll tell you what I know, and blah, blah, blah. No, you don't start, the servant, I'm a poor one to be preaching this, but the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. So you don't argue with him about it. You just say, well, could I show you in the Bible how you could know? The Bible teaches you can know. Would you like to see that? Act like it'd be interesting. You'd be surprised. It's all a lot of times, he that wins souls must be wise. It's all in how you're approaching it. I mean, if you're going to go sell vacuum cleaners, you're not going to grab them up by the throat and pull their ears and say, you stupid idiot, you better buy this or your wife's going to divorce you. You don't settle that way, do you? I mean, you just don't. And you say, well, Reggie, I didn't know we was in the selling business. I ain't saying we are, but I'll tell you this much. You got to keep the devil from the barriers coming up, and you got to keep the door open if you can, and take that truth right around that block if you can. And ask them, are you 100% sure that when you die, you're going to go to heaven? If they say, well, no, I'm not. And then what would be the next logical thing that you would say to them? Yeah, you could know. Would you like to know? Would you like to know how you could know? Would you like to know? Now, I'm going to give you some verses a little bit, and I don't know how you like to do, but you can either use a track, you can use you can use a deal that of own scriptures written out or whatever. Now, let me tell you something that we need to really do in this church a lot. Now, let's just get down to brass tacks, and this is a real quandary for me. I want to talk to you from my heart. This thing, something that I struggle with as a pastor. All right, I know for a fact that God has. I don't have any question about how God's led me and pastor in this church. I don't have any question about, Christian education and salvation by grace and authorized version Bible and modest dress and marriage and on and raise your children right and on. Okay, everybody with me so far?
Yeah.
But did you know what happened? The word gets out on you. The word gets out on you. And I'm going to tell you, whether you like this or not or believe this or not, this is the truth. This is not the first. This is not the sinner's first choice for a church to go visit. How many believe that? Why isn't it? Because he's heard so much. Some of it distorted, some of it not. But he's heard a lot. Why does he hear a lot? Because Satan hates his church. You know, if I was the devil, I'd hate this church too. I mean, I'd really try to knock this place out. Because this church is getting the gospel out. And it's taking a stand for the Word of God. But here's what I have to realize. Is that, because of that, sometimes when I've gotten really, really backslid, I've had this attitude. I'll tell you what, if y'all want to die and go to hell, I guess just die and go to hell. We've tried for years to win you, and so long. Isn't that terrible? I mean, it's just sometimes you feel that way. But let me say this to you. I know something about you all, because I know it's with me too. Because of the stand this church takes, and because of the out there, you have a tendency to not invite people to church. Do you know who comes to this church? Do you know the people that come to this church is growing Christians. Families and individuals who really who have a desire to grow in the Lord, who have a desire for a closer walk with God and who are getting serious about serving God. That's who. I mean, I'm just being honest tonight. It's just not the first choice of sinners that need to get saved to come. And I've seen this over the years. They'll get saved somewhere else, and maybe they go 5 or 6 years and they're just not growing in the Lord and there gets to be a hunger in the Lord and they realize they need to take a stand and they're looking for help and support. And be honest with you, in this church here, education is a big thing. A lot of families have come here because they're looking for a church that will support and encourage them in the raising of their children for Christ. That's just the facts of it. And so what happens is, in the course of that, there used to be a lot of people says, well, that church over there, pretty radical. But I've had people tell me, Reggie, if you didn't preach on this, I'd come. Reggie, if you didn't preach on this, I'd come up here. What do you do? And pretty soon, if you're not careful, it's like, I guess just whoever wants to come, come. Now, here's what I would say to you is this. But don't be afraid to invite people to church. Tell people this. Why don't you come to church with me some Sunday? That's not a tough question, is it? It's not a tough question. Now, here's the one that works for everybody. Are you ready for this? This works for everybody in witnessing. This is the most powerful tool you'll ever have in your pocket to win people to Christ. Is everybody ready? Is the suspense built up enough? Here it is. Can I tell you about when I got saved? Now, before we get out of here tonight, I'm going to give you a chance to do that if I don't forget. You need to be able to turn to somebody and tell them about how God saved you. That's the best thing you know. The best thing you know, isn't it, Donnie, what God did for you? You know, I'll be honest with you. I think you could put Donnie in a soul winning class for 4 semesters. I believe he'd still come out and just tell people what happened to him. Because that's what he knows. Can I tell you that's the best thing? How many's ever heard January 24th, 1982? You ever heard that? You know why? Because that's what I know. I don't know a lot of things, but I know what God did for me on that night. And so I'm just encouraging you tonight, you need to think about how would I tell somebody how I got saved, when I got saved, how it came about. Can I tell you about what led me to be saved? If you can do that, it's the most powerful thing. Tell me why that's the most powerful thing you can do. It's real, it's personal, and it speaks to them on a very personal level. You betcha. They can see it coming out of your heart. And you can tell them about how God forgave you. First of all, you can tell them what a wicked, hell-deserving sinner you were. You know, it ain't me walking up to Tim and saying, I want to tell you something, you wicked, low-down, hell-deserving sinner. God's going to send you to hell if you don't get born again. You know, maybe he needs that, maybe he don't, you know. But that's pretty hard for everybody. But what I can do is tell Tim how wicked, how I almost went to hell. And then let the Holy Ghost, Dolores, she told me the other day, she said, someone in her life said that every time they heard me say how terrible a wicked person I was, it made them mad. They didn't like to hear me talk about how wicked I am. Now, here's the thing that happens. If you tell somebody else, you can't hardly name a sin that you've committed that somebody else ain't committed it. And what's the Holy Spirit going to do when you tell them? That's right. The Holy Spirit's going to say, you're guilty of that too. And then the Holy Spirit's going to say, well, he needs a Savior because of that. Then you do too. And what's going to happen is very, very powerful for you to tell somebody else about how God saved you. Now, I'll tell you something else it'll do for you. It'll keep you from forgetting the pit from which you were dug. Because a lot of people look at Christianity, they look at it with pride, and they think we don't act like we ever sin, we don't do anything wrong, we were never sinners to start with, we were little angels, we were born little angels, and so forth. And what they need to see is, what's that put on you? Now watch this. When you tell somebody else what happened to you, and how God forgave you, and how God saved you from hell, and how God redeemed you with the blood of His Son, what is that saying to that person? What is that sending out from your soul? Humility. And God gives grace to the humble. And God will give grace to you, and God works through the humble. And when they see that humility, that's exactly what they need to get saved, is humility. And you're not only demonstrating humility, you're teaching them humility. Let me say something to you tonight. I'll tell any young man in here that God ever calls to preach, if you're going to be afraid to tell how wicked you are, and I'm not talking about details, I'm talking about in a general sense, if you're going to be afraid to let it be known from the pulpit how wicked you are and how deserving of hell you were and how Christ saved you from your sins and from the wrath of God, you're never going to be worth a pinto bean with a hole in both ends of it for God. Why? Because people are looking, the Holy Ghost works through those who will be honest with themselves, and people can identify with someone who's been saved. But if you're up here, holy, 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 and nobody, you know, as far as I've never seen him do anything out of line. He just is so wonderful. He just pats people on the head at the hospital all the time, and you never see him do anything wrong. I'm going to tell you, everybody's a sinner. Everybody's a sinner. So I'd say this to you. Tell them why you need to be saved. Why did you need to be saved? Why did you need to be? Somebody tell me. Amen. I like that. What? Because people can ask you that. You think, well, they wouldn't ask that. Yeah, they can. So what do you need to get saved for? Because I was headed to hell. Why are you headed to hell? I'm a sinner. Well, yeah, but everybody sins. That's right. Everybody going to hell without Christ. And you just keep bringing them through to that. But you have it. Bob, you're okay. Yeah. You bet. Be careful what you say. That's right. Amen. That's exactly right. And I'll tell you something else it'll do. It'll put a spirit in you of brokenness again. It'll put a spirit of honesty in you. And there's something about it that's very hard to throw away. And you know something else? It's pretty hard for somebody else to say, well, I won't listen to that. Pretty hard for them to say that. Now, I've got an idea. Lindell, you've got that belt buckle. But I'll tell you what I would wear if we could find some. I'd wear a lapel pin or a little pin-on deal that says Jesus saves if I could get them. So somebody could find them and the church buy them, get them, I'll wear one. Okay? Now, you say, what'd you do that for? So I want everybody to know I'm... Well, you know what? That ain't... No. But it might be a conversation piece and it might say something to somebody along the way. It has said something to people and I don't think it hurts anything. Now, let's go on here. This right here is probably one of the most powerful tools in witnessing there ever was or ever will be. It's just a track. I'm telling you what, the best thing you can do, I'm going to give somebody a little flower tonight. There's a man that's not at church tonight. He wasn't here this morning, but he's here all the time if he's home. But he's gone this weekend. And he was leaving out this week, and you know what I saw in his hand? Stack of tracks about that thick he was taking on him. He was going on a trip several states away, and he stopped and got him several tracks to take with him on the trip. He didn't say a word to me. He was just saying, Reggie, I won't be there Sunday. I'll see you guys. Never said a word to me about, well, I got my tracks in West God. I'm going to be a hero on the trip. Never said a word about it. I just happened to notice that down here in his hand, there's probably 8 or 10 or 12 tracks in his hand, and he was getting ready to take off on this trip. That's good. You know what? He knew he was going to be seeing some people along the way. Tracks are very, very powerful. Now, if you're going to do track evangelism, here's the best thing in the world. You just, if you've got them and you're getting gas or getting groceries, whatever you're doing, you just pull one out of your pocket and you say, hey, here's something good to read. Tells you how to go to heaven. Now, you know what? I never said to that boy, now put out your hand, take it like that and take it. When I did that, he absolutely lifted up his hand and took it. I didn't even have to ask him to. I mean, they'll just do it. You pull that out of your pocket, and I know some of you might not now, but I'm telling you, pull that out of your pocket and say, here's something good to read. You go by McDonald's, you go by Hardee's, you go by wherever it is, you pull that thing out, here's something good to read. Tells you how to go to heaven. And I forget where I was at here a while back, and I gave somebody a tract. Oh, I know what it was. I was in Branson, and Randy Downing was there. Who was it? I gave a tract to somebody. I forget where I was at. Anyway, we were together. It's been 6 months ago. Gave a track to somebody. Anyway, ran. Oh, I know, he was at the restaurant. And there was a kind of a Mexican boy. And he had served our table, and I didn't give him a track. And the Lord dealt with me about it. So everybody left. Some of them went in the bathroom. And I went in and I said, Lord, help me find that boy. I just felt so impressed. I need to find that boy in this big old place. And lo and behold, he comes walking straight toward me in that big old place. He walked to me. I said, hey, I forgot to give you something. Here's a track. Something good to read. I said, I'll tell you how to go to heaven. And I just said, thank you for the meal or what it was. And I walked on out and went out the doors. And pretty soon, Randy came out of the bathroom, came by and saw him reading that track. And Randy knew that I was, you know, he had seen me. He came out and he said, that boy is standing over there behind the counter and he's just doing that. That's pretty fast results. That's pretty fast results. And I will tell you, use a track they can read real quick. Especially nowadays. If you get a tract that's got fine print and 42 pages, they're going to... Ain't going to work. I love these old chick tracts. This Is Your Life. It's hard to beat. Fits everybody. Don't make any difference what their faith and religion is. If it uses the law and the laws of the schoolmaster to bring you to Christ, it's a good track. Okay? Anyway, that's a good thing to use, or a good tool to use. Let's look at something. Okay, I'm going to give you some scriptures in case not. Here's what's called the old Romans Road. I'm going to give it to you. First thing you've got to do to anybody, if you want to write this down, is you've got to show them they're sinners. Nobody needs a Savior that doesn't know they're a sinner. If they don't know they're a sinner, you are wasting your time. And by the way, you say, well, Reggie, everybody, no. Much of the world does not think they need a Savior at all. That's why the law must be preached. Preaching the gospel without having previously preached the law is non-effective. It'd be like me walking up to you and said, you owe me $10,000. And you say, well, what, I owe you $10,000? Well, if I can't show you how you violated my, if I can't show you, you think, well, what do I need? I don't need that. You're just giving me a false accusation. But if you'll show him, first, number one, show him a sinner. That's Romans chapter 3, verses 10, 11, 12, and 23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. Okay? The wages, of course, all sin comes short of the glory. Now, second thing is, first of all, show him as a sinner. Number two, show him the wages of sin. Show the wages of sin. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is a good spot right here when you're talking about the wages of sin. And when you say the wages of sin is death, this is a good spot to include Revelation chapter 20. Listen, because they need to understand there's more than just physical death to being lost. There's a second death. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And make them understand that the second death is the eternal separation from God because of the sin that we have. You got to make them understand. Yes, Lindell. Okay. Number one is showing he's a sinner. Romans 3, verses 10, 11, 12, and 23. Four verses that you can use there in Romans chapter 3 to show him that he's a sinner. And by the way, now watch this. If he says, I'm not a sinner, then what do you got to do? Got to go straight to the law. You got to go to the Ten Commandments. Say, have you ever stole penny, pencil, anything? Have you ever lied? If he says he's never lied, you're dealing with a liar. Okay? And again, don't try to be a prosecuting attorney. Let the Holy Spirit do it. Let the Holy Spirit do it. Dishonor your father and mother, that's a great one to use on people. Great one. I would say that dishonoring your father and mother is one of the best Ten Commandments to use to make people know they're a sinner. Yes?
One thing that helped me early on when I first started working in camp and working with kids and trying to look at, I had a little list of the Romans Road, mm-hmm. trying to look at that and find it in my Bible, and Joel helped me with something. He said, take and just memorize where the first verse is. When you find it, you highlight it, write the next verse on the top corner of that page, and then now I need help because
Amen.
It's flowing smooth, and there's no time for me to get distracted between.
And you bet.
Make a
transition.
Yeah, just take the flow right on through.
What he's telling you is this. If you're where you can use your Bible, okay, this is assuming that you can use a New Testament or a Bible, at Romans chapter 3, verse 23, you would write this next reference, Romans chapter 6, verse 23. If you know you've got to go to Romans 3, then from then on you've got it a pathway marked all the way through. So you would mark it at Romans 6:23, or Romans 3:23, write a reference down Romans 6:23, and for the showing him the wages of sin. So that's the second thing, showing the wages of sin. And by the way, don't be afraid to talk about hell. Hell's a powerful word used in scripturally and used by the saint of God. And somebody may smirk and may mock and may scoff, but don't you ever doubt how much the Holy Ghost will use the word of hell in your testimony and in talking to them. All right? Number three, show the person that Christ paid for his sin on the cross. Romans 5:8. So if you went from Romans 6:23, you'd write down at Romans 6:23, you would write Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. What does Romans 5:8 say? But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. By the way, if you want to get, in all honesty, we'll go to work for somebody. You know, I went to auction school, and they said, drill, 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 drill. I drilled for months. You know what I drilled? So I know 2.5, 5, 7.5, 10, 12.5, 15, 5, 10, 15, 20, 1.25, 1.5, 175, 2. You know what? I didn't wake up one morning and say, oh, I can do all that stuff. Them two ladies didn't get up here and do the flute. And never had, I guarantee you, there'd been something going on at the house. If you're going to talk to people about the Lord, you need to memorize these verses. In all honesty, you need to memorize them. Now, I will tell you this. There's great power in having the person read the Scriptures. The best thing is if you have the Bible, have them to read it. What does that say? What does that say to you? What does that say to you? What does that say to you? Let them do it. I'll never forget when I had that Catholic man out the house, and I read to him over there. There's one. I took him to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. It said, for there is one mediator, and I had him to read it. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ. I said, what does that say? I didn't say, what does that mean? Or what do you think it means? I said, what does it say? Well, he looked at it again. He said, well, it says there's one mediator between man and God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you, there's just something powerful about that. And I said, what would be the logical conclusion from that? And he kind of backed up a little bit and he didn't want to say it, I could tell. I said, if there's one, then what are all these other priests doing? And boy, I'm telling you, I guarantee you, the Holy Ghost just nailed him. Nailed, because he'd already committed that he believed the Bible to be the Word of God. And he knew, and then what else I knew? He had never been shown that verse. Never. And you know what else hit him at that point in time? Why hasn't anybody ever shown this to me? Why hasn't anybody ever told me this? And God will use that kind of thing. So, number one, show him he's a sinner, Romans 3, verses 10, 11, 12, and 23. Number two, showing the wages of sin, Romans 6, 23, and Revelation chapter 20. And I would just quote Revelation chapter 20 rather than maybe turn there at that point in time. You know, that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Whosoever was not found, name was not found written in the Lamb's book of life was cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. That second death is an eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. When you start talking like that, friend, you're in there. You're full-blown witnessing right now. You're gone, okay? Now, this is something you need to get tonight. The gospel is this. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ in our place. And the gospel is what saves people. Okay, the gospel is what Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. That's what Romans 5:8, number 3, showing Christ paid his debt is. Romans 5:8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, do what? Christ died for us. And really, now let me tell you something. This is, I believe, important. If I'm working with anybody at an altar, anything, I drill something home. The substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. The substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. And the great verse, I'll give this to you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. One of the greatest verses the Holy Spirit of God will ever use on anybody. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin. The just, that's Jesus. For the unjust, that's me. Why? That he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. That suffering in my place, that substitutionary death, the Holy Spirit uses that. Why? Because that is the gospel. That Christ died in my place on the cross. And you've got to use it. And if you don't, what was the cross about? What was the cross about? And that's another thing you want to ask the guy if they get in a discussion. Good question. Why did Jesus die on the cross? Why did he die on the cross? Ask him that. Amen. All right, number four, and this is it. Show him what to do. Show him what to do. Now, there comes a point where you've got to show him what to do. It's a good one. But the one, I'm going to keep you in Romans here as much as I can. Romans chapter 10, verses 9, 10, and 13. That thou shalt, somebody help me. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto salvation. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:13, I love it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Is that it or not? Yeah. Yeah. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm telling you something. People's got to know how. And another one going back. Then a lot of times I would roll back to Romans 6:23 where it says, remember, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ your Lord. This is free. Jesus paid for it all on the cross. You can't work for it. Can't buy anything. Need to humble yourself, repent of your sin, and believe that Jesus died on the cross for you and rose from the dead. God will save you. God will save you. Now, right here you are, and this is pretty tough. Now, I'm going to say this to you. Now, There's a lot of what I call vacuum sales, soul winning going on in the world, and it's made a lot of false converts in a way. But you know, in all honesty, if you've told them the truth and they're not real, that's not your problem. And I would rather err on the side of having told somebody that said, well, I'm not sure he's serious enough in his heart yet. I'm not sure he repented. I'm not sure he was really telling me the truth. Hey, I don't know that on Sunday morning. I don't know that when they come up here on Sunday morning. I like to, go over to the Hartville jail years ago, and the sheriff told me one time, he said, they're just a bunch of cons, Reggie. They'll tell you whatever you want to hear back there, you know, and they'll do whatever you ask them to do if they think it'll help them get out of here. And I said, let me tell you something. They're probably just as real here as they are at the church house. And that's just the truth. I said, people's people, whether they're in jail, out of jail. I said, I'm just going to keep giving them the gospel, and what they do with it's up to them. So the four things, showing him as a sinner, showing the wages of sin. Number three, showing Christ paid for his debt. Number four, showing him what to do. And the best thing you can do when you read verse 13, say, would you like to call on the Lord and ask him to save you? Ask him. Now, we're talking about being a soul. We're talking about entering into the work of the Lord here. That's the truth. We've got some great tools, don't we, to go work for the Lord. Look at here. Got a great tool right there. Let me tell you something. You get this. They said never a man spake like this man. He spake as one having authority and not as the scribes. Let me tell you something. Don't you ever be afraid. It's not what you're saying. It's what this Bible says. I'll tell you one of the things I love to do. I said, you're not monkeying with the Sears and Roebuck catalog here, friend. This is the eternal Word of God. This is serious business. And you're going to stand before God judged by this book and the truth in it. Yes, sir. Okay. All right, Linda, let me say this here to you. There are people in the world that, let me say this to you. If a man doesn't believe the Bible, he can't be saved. Because faith comes by, you're saved by faith, faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the Word of God. But, just still giving the Word. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And even though he's sitting there saying, ask the man book, you can read all you want to, I don't care. Still give it to him, let the Holy Spirit have it. You're just planting, you're just watering. You don't have to impress God with your skills and abilities. You be faithful, do what God's given you to do. Let God take care of the rest of it. There's lots of them didn't believe what Jesus told them. That's right. And it's incorruptible seed. And once you've planted it in the heart, it's there for sentencing or for saving, one or the other. And so I would just really encourage you. Yes, Kenny? That's right. Yep. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. You bet. Yeah. Let me give you a little something about what Kenny's on, because he's telling you the flat truth. Here's why I started off this planting and watering thing, and that God gives the increase. If you feel like you've got to make people believe, you'll get so discouraged because you can't. But if you'll just say, I'm in the planting business. I'm in the watering business. I'm in the gardening business. And in your garden that you have at your house, you cannot make corn pop out of the ground. Only God can do that. Only God can do that miracle. What Kenny said is so true, and you will run into it. One thing you need to do is, and I will tell you this, one of the most powerful things you can ever use is graciousness. If somebody gets to where they want to argue with you, again, though, one of the greatest things you can do is go back. You know what? I know you might say to that man, I understand that you're not going to believe and don't want to believe. But there's no way you can change what I know God did for me. Amen. There's no way you can change. I know what God did for me. He saved me. He changed my life. I've been born again. And He lives within here. Let me tell you another thing. There's two sides to soul winning. I can talk to people about the Lord, but if my life is killing everything I'm saying, then that's another thing. So what happens when you're in a workplace of that nature with people every day? I'm going to tell you, I'm around people some of the times the same people all the time. I can't badger them to death about getting saved. It comes a point kind of when they got it, they're going to watch you and see what whether what you have is real or not. Yes. You betcha.
That's been more my case than it's always been, you know, I've had some Mormons that said, you know, just that's always been my case.
Yep.
Hardly ever any new converts. It's always someone trying to, you know, add you on or
yep.
turn you around.
Yep. That's right. I mean, it's, that's why I said he that winneth souls is wise. You've got to be wise in your response. I'll give you this verse. I don't have my little bill. I carry a little billfold right here. If you ever knock me in the head, don't look back here. It's up here, okay? Is it? And ain't nuts there. But I carry a little billfold. Inside that billfold, if you open it up, I have clipped in there this verse. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Why do I have that in it? Because I have a problem with that. I have... Somebody throws a curve at me, I have a tendency to want to kind of just, you know, I'll show you. Let's get your Bible. I'll show you. But once you start a striving spirit, you've lost them.
Yeah.
That's right. So then it becomes a deal of planting the seed, watering, letting the Holy Ghost bring it through, and then living a life that backs up what we're saying. It's a lifelong project, and it's not. That's why I say don't get discouraged about something that didn't turn out right. I mean, somebody that didn't get saved. I mean, I can't save them. You can't save them. But we can sow and water and plant and live before them in a way that might help them. We've got another weapon, and that's prayer.
Amen.
I guarantee one thing. Talking to people make you pray. Witnessing to people make you pray. Lord, give me strength. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, help me love these people enough. Again, another tool is tracts. CDs. I tell you, cheap as CDs are now. CD's about 30, 33 cents a piece. And I'm telling you what, people will take them so fast, make your head swim. These folks down there, and we're going to get some here about our workplace. These folks at the restaurant right back here. I ain't never went in there what they didn't have tapes of CDs sitting there in there for you when you go in. They don't tell them how many people. Now, what is that? They can't be walking around cooking food and serving people all the time saying, are you saved? You can't get out of here until you ask you. Say, you don't do, they don't, that don't work. And by the way, if you're back in the kitchen all the time, but you know what? If the people who are coming through your workplace are getting the Word of God somehow or another, then that's a way of soul winning. That's what the tools are about. And so that's what I'm saying. There's methods. There's mail. There's people in this church who put tracts in all their, when they pay their bills. It's an excellent idea. And by the way, anybody's got any ideas about evangelism? We're talking about evangelism tonight, winning people to Christ. If you've got any ideas, want to share it with them, have at it. But there are people who put tracts in when they send in their light bill or whatever it may be, they put tracts in. And it's a good thing to do. Again, personal contact with handing a tract or verbal discussion, CD distribution, that, you know, that's whether it's personal. Really, I'll tell you what, I really appreciate your prayers. I'm not joking because I felt burdened for about a year now maybe. To start, and I'm looking at it real strong, a half-page ad, and I've got to take a poll tonight, too. I want to know. All right, how many reads Douglas County Herald? Raise your hand. I need to see. One. Okay, just keep them up for a little bit so I can see. All right. How many reads the Mountain Grove News Journal? Raise your hand. Raise them up before I can see them. I can't really see. One. I thought I'm kind of surprised there. Okay. Now I'm going to ask, how many reads Chopper 2? What's that tell you? Okay. Huh?
It's free.
Yeah, it's free. Yeah.
Shopper 2 is not only free, it goes from West Plains to Springfield and Lebanon to the Arkansas border almost.
Okay, here's the deal. Because I've been asking myself, Reggie, because what I want to do is a half-page deal on learning to love the Bible. Okay? And in practical things that the Bible has answered to. It's not a full salt. I'm not going to go out and attack the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses. You know what I mean? That, you know, they know where I'm at. Okay? I ain't worried about those guys too bad, to be honest with you. What I want to reach out here is, you know, the old average common Joe guy who's having a problem in life and doesn't know the Bible has the answers to his life. And I'm wanting to do a weekly deal in there. My deal has been, where do we do this? Because we can't afford, or I don't think we can justify, three or four papers. And there, she's right. Sharper 2 runs from Gainesville to probably Grove Springs or north. It runs from, what, Seymour, Rogersville to West Plains. 26,000 homes it goes into. Huh? and delivered to the home, right? Not just laid at businesses. So that's kind of a deal. Okay. So anyway, be in prayer about that. Be in prayer because I want us to do something. 2009, what's the number 9 in Scripture?
Anybody remember?
Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
right. It's the number of the Spirit, 9. There's 9 fruit of the Spirit. I'd like for, and what's fruit? That's what we're looking for. Increase, right? Jesus said, I have chosen you to go forth and bring forth fruit. So I think 2009 ought to be a year of fruitfulness. All right? So I want us to claim by faith. I want us to claim something by faith. I want God to claim us 52 people to see saved through the labor of this church that we're able to see. So, Melody, you got to drag out your little chart deal again. All right? Now, this isn't counting Camp Joy. That's separate. Okay? We're talking about somebody you won to the Lord, somebody got saved out here as a result of a CD track or personal witnessing or saved here at church or saved in revival meeting, something of that nature. 52 people. All right? Would that be that's a reasonable goal, isn't it? That's a reasonable goal. And we did that one year. I remember we did it. We set a goal for 52 people and got into about November and thought we're not going to reach it. And I don't know how you remember it, but like 12 or 15 people got saved in November. It was like amazing. God said, oh, it's just kind of boom, boom, boom. And we reached the goal. So I want to set that goal of 52 people. So Melody, you get that going. Then I want you to set a goal. I want you to set a goal. I'd like you to set a goal of giving out one track a week to somebody. One track or CD. It's going to be very easy for you to do. All right? I'm asking you right now if you would commit to the Lord to give out one track a week to somebody or CD. Track or CD, whatever you're comfortable with. And I think we need to ask God for something. I think we need to ask God to give it. Everybody ought to ask, God, give me a soul this year. How many would like for God to give you a soul this year? Wouldn't it be neat when you get to heaven for somebody to walk up there and say, because of your influence on my life. Now, how would that happen? It could happen by you getting somebody to church and them hearing the gospel, getting saved. It could happen by this, by you calling me up and saying, hey, Reggie, there's a man over here I want you to go with to see. I want you to go with me to see him. You may not feel comfortable talking to him about the Lord, but you might say, Reggie, I want you to go with me, or I want you to go to see this guy, or whatever it is. But I'm challenging you tonight, two or three things. Number one, to commit to the Lord to pass out at least one track or CD a week. Some of you are already doing that, so that's no challenge. All right, some of you are doing more than all right. I want you to ask God to give you a soul, though. God, give me a soul. God, I don't want to go into eternity empty-handed. And I want you to use me to win somebody to Christ some way, somehow. Lord, I don't have to get glory for it. I don't have to be praised for it. I just want to be used of God as an instrument of leading someone to Christ if I can. And I think those are biblical and things that we ought to do. So those are just some things that I'd like to challenge you about this year, 52 souls for the church. And then each of us giving out a track or a CD a week. And then saying, Lord, this year, make me fruitful this year. Let me tell you, that one soul that God would give you is worth more than all the world. It's worth more than all the world. Worth more than all the world. And here's the thing I like this. And I would encourage you to do this. Just ask the Lord, would you give me a soul to win to Christ? Would you do that? I think God will bless you for that. Now, there's something else I need to do. I need to have a meeting with the Don and Dennis, whoever's kind of over the ushering deal. I'm not, and don't give me something back, I'm not fishing for compliments. I am not a good organizational pastor. I study, I prepare, I preach, and I try to feed. I've tried to feed the flock, and I'll stand with anybody and say, as far as that part goes, I'll run with anybody. But when it comes to organizational, pastoral things, I am not the best at it. Okay? Give you an example. We've had probably 25 visitors here at this church in the last month. I don't know how many of you are aware of it. It's been amazing how many visitors we've had. Did you know what we have not done that I know of? We haven't given them a card to fill out their phone number, address, so that I could call them and say, hey, it was good to have you. Would you like me to come by sometime? Visit? I'm not a big one to go visit. I let people kind of, you know, I told a couple here this morning. This is, I don't know if they may be here tonight. Don't matter. A man and his wife came last Sunday night. They came tonight or this morning. And after the service, he came and talked to me. He wanted to know what our church believes. He wanted to know if we had a statement of faith. And I talked to him, and I told him what Danny Friend said when his family came here. Danny, never will forget, Danny told me, says, well, we're down at the lake looking for boat docks, but we haven't bought one yet. We haven't bought a place to put our boat in. I told him, I said, listen, let me tell you something. I'd come here six weeks or 8 weeks or 12 weeks, and I wouldn't say yay or nay. I'd come here and let's see if the Holy Spirit puts you in this church. Now, there's a difference between winning people to Christ and people becoming a part of this church. This is not going to be the church for everybody, okay? It just isn't. And I'm not the pastor for everybody. But I encouraged him to come for a while and then see if the Lord, he felt this is where, you know, and how he said something to me about, he said, I want to ask you a question. Are you in the numbers game? And I said, well, look back on that board. I said, we don't even count them. And that doesn't mean every person is not precious. But I said, when we used to count them, if we were down 15 one Sunday, I was down. About the time I started to preach, I'd see it. If we were up, I was all excited. Our spirituality should not go up and down with whether there's 5 more people or 10 less people here each week. That doesn't mean people aren't precious. So we need to get some cards printed and made. Visitors need to receive them. And I heard telling Donnie and somebody else, I heard a message recently. I'm going to try to listen to it, and I'm going to try to preach it. I'm going to steal another message. But it was a message entitled, How to Obtain the Favor of God on Your Church. Woo. And the first thing out of the hatch was friendliness to people. I'm telling you what, that man preached, and I'll tell you what, I literally just hunkered down in conviction. Because he mentioned about people coming through the door of your church and people not being friendly to them. And loving them in the Lord. And I'll tell you, there's no excuse for that. And I found myself shaking hands with my little circle. And I want to say I appreciate the people. There was a man sitting in the back seat this morning. And I made it a point to go back and see him. But before I could get there, there were several people shaking his hand. I want to tell you, I appreciate that. That is so needed. Because when people come to church, we don't have a clue what maybe they're going through or what they're looking for in the things of their life. And so I'll preach that at some other time. But another thing I'd like to do by the start of the year is this. And men, I want you to listen to me carefully. There was a time in this church when we had about 10 men designated to pray for families in the church. In other words, a man would have maybe 7 or 8 families to pray for every day. We had literally an umbrella of prayer over our church. Everybody in church was being prayed for every day. And I'm going to ask for volunteers, and if I don't get enough volunteers, I'll put in the draft. But I want that reinstilled in this church. Let me tell you something. There's a difference in several, there'll be a difference in the health of this church. There'll be a difference in marital sweetness in this church. When you've got somebody praying for you, entering into that spiritual realm that Satan's coming against you in, it makes a difference. And people need to be prayed for. And what you do, that man prays for whoever. He might have 5 families or whatever, or 3 or 4, but he prays for them every day. And it's also a faith-building exercise for the men who are praying for them. It really helps them draw close to the Lord as they're fulfilling their commitment to pray for men every day, or for families every day. So anyway, there's some other things I want to do, but I think I've done enough for tonight. I may preach next Sunday morning and Sunday night on reasons why we ought to be soul winners according to the Scripture. And, man, it's amazing. It'll take 2 services to do it. So, anyway, anybody else got anything tonight you want to throw in on this kind of half-cocked? Yes, Mary.
We used to have a track that said, welcome to Liberty Faith Church.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I looked at it, it still had the times that we used to have services in it.
See if you can find one. If you'll get it found, I don't know where it's at. If you can get one, I'll go have them reprinted and fixed right.
And the chick track called A Long Trip is a real good one to leave lying around waiting
for the airport. Okay, The Long Trip. I haven't seen that one, I don't guess. Is it with one back before? Yes.